And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's really good to be with you today. And I know that I have read the story to you before, but I want to come back and I want to make a point. And of course, you'll figure it out on your own. But this, I just need you to consider these things, because this may come in handy to help save you from a crisis down the road. It was July the 31st, and the year was 2016, so that was what, 6 years ago, give or take. The most dangerous stunt that was ever attempted was shown on United States television. I didn't see it, because I probably don't really watch enough TV to know what's going on. But there was a skydiver. He was 42 years old. His name is Luke Akins. What he did was he made a free will decision to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And the airplane was at what height? 25,000 feet. And he did all this without a parachute on. And so after he had this terrifying 2-minute free fall, which it took 2 minutes for him to jump from the plane to cover the distance of 25,000 feet. And what he did was he landed just off dead center in a 100-foot by 100-foot net at the Big Sky Movie Ranch on the outskirts of Simi Valley. He got up and walked away. Well, you're probably asking the question, what does this have to do with health? What does this have to do with the function of my body? Well, they had a there was an expert nutritionist there, an event organizer by the name of Charles Talley, and I think what happened was he drew some blood immediately afterwards so he could just examine it. And so 2 minutes of acute stress, and I would say that would be a pretty stressful event. You don't have a parachute on. You think you know where you're going to land. You're trying to orient your body while you're in the air. That is one of the, that's got to be one of the most terrifying things of all time. And so you're going to land on this huge, big air pillow or net. And so what happened was, when they looked at his blood, he was 100% wiped out of one particular vitamin that was relatively easy for them to measure. It's called vitamin B6. And vitamin B6 is a water-soluble vitamin, so I think you can get a pretty accurate representation of your B6 levels by drawing the blood. And what's the message here? You may not be jumping out of a plane and without a parachute. You may not be involved in the war over in the Ukraine. You may not be running for your life right now from a pack of wolves up in Yosemite or in the outback of Alaska, but you might be under a lot of stress. What if you're going through a divorce? What if you're dealing with the death of a relative, like a father's passed away? What if you just lost your job? A man told me recently that his landlord came to him and presented a contract to sign up for a year's lease, and the amount of the lease had increased substantially. And he thought about it. He said, well, hey, I've got a good job. Well, the very next day he was laid off, so he lost his job. That creates stress. Or maybe there's relationship issues, or a person has just lost their job, or they've gone bankrupt. But basically, your B6 and your magnesium levels are just about going to be wiped out when you're under lots of stress. I think the way that I like to word this sometimes is you might burn through your nutrients faster than once you can replace them or replenish them. And so just briefly on B6, you got to have vitamin B6 just to make all the muy importante, the very important neurotransmitters like serotonin and norepinephrine and dopamine and adrenaline. You got to have all that stuff to make GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid. That's one of the brain's relaxers. And so you've got to have vitamin B6 and magnesium. They work together as a team to make all this work. And so there was a study done where they looked at people that were under high amounts of stress. And I think 264 entered into the study. It was called the Sanofi study. And they showed after 8 weeks, and the only thing they gave them was, they gave them magnesium alone, or they gave them a combination of magnesium with vitamin B6. They came out of it much, much better than what they went into it. They were able to handle stress better. All because they supplemented during the stressful part of their life with magnesium. I guess one of the reasons that I'm talking about magnesium is I know that I've seen two cases this week where the magnesium levels were severely low. And there's lots of ways. And so, for example, when someone's low in magnesium, this is really the way I should say it. If your feet are very deficient in magnesium, they are going to smell awful. This could be someone that leaves their shoes outside their hotel door, and they request that the shoe person shine their shoes to get ready for a wedding they're going to, and instead of shining the shoes, they probably put them in a hazmat bag, and they tie it up and put it in the incinerator and burn them up for the safety of the guest of the hotel. I'm just joking about that. But no, it's pretty common. When you're low in magnesium, your feet smell horrible. So I'm not picking on anybody. See, this is a valuable clue. So what happens is when you stink and your feet smell horrible, you're supposed to get the idea that you might need some magnesium. Now, there may be other factors. It may be that you work on a... I think I used to go slop the hogs barefooted. Yeah, I guess if I'm wandering around in the muck and the mire where the hogs were in the pen, maybe that would make my feet smell bad. It's amazing I didn't get hookworms. Okay. Well, maybe foot odor is not your problem. But that's what you can expect, at least in some people, when you're really, really low in magnesium. You know, you could probably make a case that magnesium ends up being a very good deodorizer. So, what if you have a relative, without giving more specific details, that just doesn't smell good? That might be a clue they're low in magnesium. But you know the other thing? Your muscles just don't work right when you're low in magnesium. They don't. Your intestines become sluggish. You're prone to constipation. There's no way your kidneys can do their work if you're low in magnesium. I would say anyone that's gone to a doctor or a PA or a nurse practitioner, nurse, LVN, whoever's giving you the information, but if you're seen by somebody and your blood test comes back and it shows that maybe your kidneys have been damaged, you might want to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider magnesium supplementation, or even choosing foods that are relatively good sources of magnesium. You might want to consider that. But your kidneys cannot do their job properly without magnesium. You're going to experience poor sleep. You're going to be more prone to your back hurting all the time, even if you have most excellent flexibility and balance. You got to have magnesium. But when you're under stress, guess what happens? You burn through your magnesium at a faster rate. Did you know that there are studies that have been done that show that you're more prone to heart palpitations? You know, under normal circumstances, you really should not be able to feel your heart, even though your heart's there. It's just ultra quiet. Now, yes, if you run up a flight of stairs or you run up the side of the road to cross the loop and so you can go over to the exotic wildlife preserve where there's nobody else walking because it's fun, yeah, you might notice your heart beating if you're moving fast. But it calms back down. You don't feel it pounding. But if you have heart palpitations, pretty good indication you might be low on magnesium. What would be the number one way that you could just strip all the magnesium from your body besides stress? Well, it's anything with phosphoric acid. Oh my goodness. So the easiest way to deplete your body of magnesium, well, just be under stress and drink soft drinks. If you'll notice with every bottle or can of a soda water that a person would drink, just look at the label. It'll say it right there. Phosphoric acid. You want to wipe out the magnesium in the body? That'll do it. If you haven't heard this, it's really common for your eyelids just to jerk and twitch on their own when you're low in magnesium. So if that happens to you, where you have this annoying twitch of your eyelid, you might want to think of magnesium. I've talked about osteoporosis before, but I can assure you, magnesium, it is of primary importance to cause your bones to be strong. So much more important than calcium is. And so if you have osteopenia, osteoporosis, you need to consider magnesium, and you don't have time to delay. Having a leg, hip, femur, pelvic bone break and fracture, having a bone fracture, that's not the time that you want to start taking action. You want to do it before then. So if you've got pain in your body, especially bone pain, take magnesium now. See if your body has the ability to reverse it. You know, the thing of it is, you either believe this or you don't believe it. You either believe that God has designed the body with everything that you need. Now, you have to do your job, and that means if you're drinking soda waters full of phosphoric acid, well, you're just stripping the nutrients out of you. A lady yesterday told me, she said her kids have asked her mom, why don't you have Cokes in the house? And she said, well, I want you to drink water, and Cokes are bad. And I think she said her son said, oh, okay, that makes sense. But you know what? If you don't have them in the house, I am just amazed at how many kids drink soda waters. If you have high blood pressure, that may be a direct application for your body crying for more magnesium. You know what the easiest way to correct a magnesium? Give up the soda waters and just start drinking water. Even better yet, why don't you start putting a dash of salt in the water that you're drinking? You know, down at the level of your kidneys, and this is going to be shocking to you. Well, I don't know. It may not be shocking to you. You're kind of used to the things that I talk about right now, but I want to give you food for thought where you can actually improve your health, because what you want is you want to be strong. And without magnesium, for example, you can't have energy. Well, magnesium is actually an electrolyte. It has an electrical charge to it. So there you go. Your body is full of cells, and cells make up glands and tissues and organs. And these cells, they contain water. But they also have mineral electrolytes, which means when you have plenty of them, you can make energy and you can make electricity. So one of the ways that you help improve your health is just by drinking water, but it might be a good idea, because most people are so deficient, you might want to put a pinch of Celtic salt in there. If you look at the basic composition of Celtic salt, or Celtic salt if you want to call it that, that's fine. It looks like wet, gray, dirty sand. You can get it coarse, you can get it ground fine. Either way, it doesn't look like anything that you would want to eat if you're used to eating white salt, but it's good for you. But it's rich in magnesium. So rich in magnesium, in such a good form it is, that when you put it and dissolve it in water, oh yeah, it'll make your water a little bit salty. You know, is it just me, or when you were in school, did y'all have two-a-day football practices and track practice and baseball and basketball, and the coach did not give you salt tablets? It's the only way we did it. We had salt tablets every day. I don't even remember how many that we had to take, but the coach would watch us as we drank water with a salt tablet. But you know, in your skin is where you have the largest salt reservoir in the body. So let me kind of cover this topic. I want you just to think about this. I realize you're not going to get this the first time that you hear it, but I think if you hear it at least once, you might start, you know, prayerfully considering how you're going to change how you take care of yourself. Okay. You have to understand that each element that God has created is essential to life. You can't live without boron. You can try, but you're not going to make it. You can't even live without cobalt. You've got to have a little bit of phosphorus. You got to have calcium. Each element that we need, that we're made from, you know, we're made from the dust of the earth, you got to have some of it. And just like anything else, there's a Goldilocks just right amount But one in particular, it has been so blamed for every problem, and it's just not true. Now, what I'm referring to, when I say consume either pink Himalayan salt or Redmond sea salt or an unprocessed sea salt or Celtic or Celtic salt, all I'm doing is referring to salt that is unbleached. It hasn't been chemicalized. They haven't treated it with high heat. They haven't added, you know, common table salt. What they do is they put aluminum powder in it. And what the aluminum does, it keeps each little cube or grain of salt from clumping or sticking to the other grains. Yeah. Do you need extra aluminum in your body? No, you don't. I think aluminum is one of the best ways to make your blood super thick and dirty. Nobody needs dirty blood. So consider this right here. We're going to talk about sodium just for a second. If your blood sodium levels drop too low, then what's going to happen? Water from the blood is going to go into your cell tissues in order to increase the level of sodium in the blood back to normal. But if this fluid shift can lead to cellular swelling, and here's what that means. If you're low in sodium in your blood, your body has no choice but it drives some of the water out of your bloodstream, and that's going to go into your tissues surrounding the cells. Well, what does it look like in the real world? Well, if you look down at your ankles and you see swelling or fluid retention, that is what that looks like. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, we know that salt is bad, Dr. Morgan. It's evil. Our doctors have told us so. We never salt our food. We never consume salt. There's enough salt in what I'm eating already. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe that's not true. Now, the reverse of that is this. If the sodium level in the blood goes up too high, then water is pulled out of the tissue cells. This is like out of your muscles. And it goes in the blood. That way they can dilute it or kind of cut the salt to bring it back down to normal. And this causes cellular shrinkage. Another way of saying that is your muscles start to become dehydrated. If you had too low a sodium in your blood, that actually causes water to build up on the brain, and a person could have like hydrocephalus and they could actually die from that. Now, thank goodness God designed a gland called the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands, so critical in our fight or flight response, saving our life. If you're walking across the African Serengeti plains and there's grass everywhere and there's one tree that's 300 yards away from you and you look over your shoulder and a pack of wild dogs is running towards you, well, you better hope you can kick it into high gear thanks to adrenaline or fight or flight, and you can run to the tree and climb up as fast as you can. You better hope there's not a leopard up in that tree, too. But that's one of the things that cortisol does. Cortisol and aldosterone, they help maintain the salt balance. So aldosterone, it tries to get salt to the skin where it can be stored. You know what it's like to sweat? A drop of sweat hits you in the corner of the mouth, and what happens? It tastes salty. So cortisol causes salt from your skin to be released so your body can aid us in times of stress. I don't know if you know this or not, but they've looked into insects like dragonflies and other flying insects. When they're low in sodium, they can't fly fast at all. They fly super slow. If you ever see a moth or a dragonfly or a butterfly, not flying very well, that's what you think of, salt. Put some salt out for them. If there's a lily pad at your pond where the butterflies come to drink their water, put a couple of grains of salt on top of the lily pad and see what happens. So insects, once they have adequate salt, this is their electrical motors working for them. They fly fast. So if you're salty, you can move faster. This is going to blow your mind right here. When I've told people this, they just look at me like I'm nuts. Okay. On average, I'm talking about the average adult human being, your kidneys are going to filter between 3.2 and 3.6 pounds of salt a day. Do you know that? Every day. So to put this into perspective, most doctors are going to say, do not consume more than a teaspoon of salt a day. Well, your kidneys, they have the system called the sodium pump. And they're used to handling between 3.2 and 3.6 pounds of salt a day. Do you know that? If your kidneys are filtering 3.5 pounds of salt a day, what does that tell you? That's incredible, isn't it? It's been estimated that 70% of all the energy that your kidneys use is just doing that one duty. It's just balancing salt. Did you know that? I don't know if you've heard this before, but if you have kidney failure, if your kidneys are ailing you, if they're weak, if they're beat up, well, then taking sodium bicarbonate, isn't that called baking soda? Even just a little bit, it can help soothe the kidneys that are inflamed. Anyway, the point that I was going to make is, if your kidneys do not have salt, then they are going to become very stressed. You've got to have salt to keep your blood free from infection. That's one of the main things that I've learned the hard way. When someone's low in salt, they seem to get any and every infection known to man. I think I think it was Tuesday of this week, they were talking about all the people that have had the coronavirus, and this study came from the United Kingdom, and they said that 1 out of 5 people that had either the Delta variant or the Omicron, they can't get over the diarrhea. They have continual diarrhea. That's 20% of the population that's had the COVID-19. They can't get over the diarrhea. Well, here's a little headline here. You might need salt. And so I've seen person after person after person that's had COVID that's been so dehydrated just because they were low in salt. If you're taking a laxative, well, you're going to be low in salt. I'll tell you what drives salt out of the body, the diuretic does. I think one study that I read years ago said 80% of all people that are taking a diuretic, and that's a drug that's prescribed by a doctor, like a hydrothiazide diuretic, to lower blood pressure. Well, guess how they lower the blood pressure? By kicking your salt out. And when you kick out the salt, the water goes with it, because salt attracts water. And so, but what happens is it leaves the heart weaker. So how do you know if you're too low in salt? Well, number one, your pulse rate goes up. It's been demonstrated over and over again. People that have a resting pulse rate in the low 70s, they have a much greater chance of living a long time. You know, like 72 or below, they usually live a much longer period of time than those that people that die earlier. And guess who dies earlier? The ones that have a high heart rate. So if your resting heart rate is 80 beats a minute or more when you're at rest, I don't mean when you're walking and exercising. If you're walking up and down hills and jumping over creeks and you're, you know, looking for your lost calf, well, that's different. Your heart rate's going to be up. That's normal. That's just a normal adaptation. But as a general rule, if your resting heart rate is in the 80s and above, these are all the people that have issues with their heart. They have all the heart disease. And plus, when your heart's beating that fast anyway, the body is crying out that you're under too much stress. So, in a similar fashion, if you're on a low salt diet or no salt, you're just making your kidneys work really, really hard. And so when you restrict salt, here's what happens to the heart. The heart rate goes up. And what that does is it greatly reduces the circulation and the oxygenation of the blood. And so all over the body, your body's starving for oxygen. Do you know what the number one symptom is of somebody that's low in salt? They just have fatigue. They're so tired. I looked up a study last night, and it was talking about there's a certain point where your heart rate goes up so high and you try to restrict the salt that you can predict mortality, meaning who's going to die of heart failure just from that. And so, going back to the United Kingdom study on people that have had COVID, what if you have had COVID and you just can't quite get well? What do you think that means? You know, I think it's a good plan. You should always ask your doctor, what's wrong with me? What's the working diagnosis? What do you feel like is the root cause of the problem? Why am I not recovering? But there's so many people that if they're deficient in salt, for example, they're going to have diarrhea. I remember one of the old cures for diarrhea was to take a bowl of cooked rice. You sprinkle, I'm going to say a tablespoon of carob on top of it. You know what carob is? They sell carob nibs or carob. It's like chocolate chips, but it's not chocolate. It's carob. Carob can be, but it's salty. And then you sprinkle as much salt and butter on the rice as you can. Well, I think that's a good choice for diarrhea. Let me know what you think. So if you get enough salt, not too much, not too little, what this does is it creates the right fluid sodium balance. So number one, it prevents dehydration. It prevents your blood pressure from being way too low. Keeps you from being dizzy. You know what it's like to just turn your head the right way and you feel like you're going to fall over and lose your balance? You've got to have salt just to have normal electrical activity of the brain. I read a study, and I know I'm switching gears here on you. Let me go ahead and give you the phone number at the station. The number here is 903-586-5257. If you want to call and ask a question, please do so. I'd invite you to give me your best question. Let's see what we can do with it. But plus, the goal is this. And yes, I freely admit I have an extreme bias here. Some people are biased toward using pharmaceuticals only. Some people prescribe psychotropics for every patient that walks in the office. Some people prescribe so much blood pressure lowering drug. Yes, I prescribe other things, natural remedies that God himself has made and designed that are good for you. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Blessed and breathing. I was going to tell you, I was going to ask you some questions. My brother-in-law, he got a spot on his lungs. Okay, they want to take half of his lung out. And the questions we're going to answer is, I'm pretty sure he's going to go through this, you know. We had drugs for him now. We'd rather for him to try to go natural. But if they do take half of that Dr. Morgan and it heals up like it should, and he said he's got to quit smoking, you know. And if he does quit smoking and they cut that out and it heals up good, what is his chances?
Boy, there's a lot of ifs on that one, isn't there?
Yeah.
And well, I know please don't take what I'm saying the wrong way, but most likely he's smoked cigarettes for a long time. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know as well as I do, that's just so hard on the body, and there's just always consequences. I think the study that I read on the radio about 6 months ago said that if you smoke one pack of cigarettes a day for 20 years, that takes right at 5 years off your life.
Yes.
Well, what I want to do is I want to counter it with this right here. There was a study that was published 2 days ago, and they said people that eat red grapes frequently and purple grapes, they live on average, they have 5 more quality years they live compared to people that don't.
Pretty good.
And so what they were saying was that grapes, they have compounds that protect your blood flow and your circulation, and they help keep your blood clean. And that's kind of what your brother needs right now.
Yes.
And so if he's able to find a way to give up cigarettes, that would be a move in the right direction.
Oh, he's going to quit. They're going to do the operation probably the first week in September. He said he's going to quit Sunday, so he will be off of them for 10 to 15 days before it. And he's through with them.
Okay, but, well, that is a great move in the right direction.
This is another thing that we told him. Whenever they do that, they're probably going to come up and say, well, we need to do some chemo after all this. And
well, they don't actually have a biopsy yet to prove what it is, do they?
Yes, it is cancer.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Well, and you know what? That's his choice if he wants to do that, but I would ask him to just look at the studies on follow-up chemo following lung surgery and see what the stats say. They're not going to be real impressive.
He knows all about that, and he's decided he's not going to. And we've told him, you know, our choice would be no. If it heals up, you might live, you know. You know, old John Wayne lived, what, 20, 25 years with one lung?
I did not know that.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, the last 20, 25 years. Yeah, he had lung cancer. They took one out. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something? You think you know everything and you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
but you know what?
He did some commercials against cigarettes quite a few times.
See, the chemical that covers the lungs is called surfactant. It's all made by good beneficial bacteria in the gut. So if your brother really got on board with the idea of eating stuff like onions and garlic and asparagus, I would personally have him eat prunes, like 4 to 6 prunes every single day, just because they're one of the richest sources of boron. And so I don't know if you know this or not, but there was one point in time that there was a nuclear power plant that almost brought down the world. It's called Chernobyl.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? The very first thing they ordered to come in there to save the people, it was boron. Boron is one of the most interesting elements that soaks up radiation and soaks up poison wherever it is. And so that's why prunes can be so good, besides what they do to help improve better elimination of waste and constipation. But boron would be an excellent choice for him.
Yeah, prunes, dried prunes and grapes. And also, if he has this done, which he's going to do, and that heals back up good, he does not smoke. I told him I think his chances are good.
Well, obviously he's got to put good food and quality nutrients in his body, and of course the lungs are mainly made of water. What do you think the chances are he would eat watermelon and cantaloupe and strawberries and apples?
He probably would.
Well, that's what you want to focus on. You want to focus on a really high plant-based diet. If you can, with the lungs, you really need to limit the sugar. Sugar is the one substance that will completely sabotage
you.
Well, you've told him, haven't you?
Yes, sir. He knows about that because that's how his sister got over cancer.
How about that? So his sister should carry a lot of... She should carry a lot of weight when it comes to speaking with authority, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're the one that helped her get through that mess.
Well, praise God.
Hey, Dr. Morgan?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What if he decided not to get half of the lung removed and say he decided, instead of doing that, I'm just going to get off all sugar and I'm going to go on a plant-based diet and fruit?
I think he has to get off all sugar anyway. See, the problem with lung cancers is those lung cancer cells, they produce an enzyme called telomerase. And when they do that, they just never die. They're just not going to die. They just refuse to die, even with chemo and radiation. The moment you come off chemo and radiation, they just start back up again. And so many people that have radiation and chemo for lung cancers, I know there's different forms like an oat cell, a large cell, a small cell, stuff like that. But if you don't stop eating sugar, you're just feeding the cancer. It's just a given. You have to.
That's right. But what if he decided not to have half of his lung removed?
Well, I really can't answer that question. I might answer that off the air, but I ain't answering that question on the air. It's just too delicate.
I just wonder if a person could live if they decided not to do that.
Well, no. Well, okay. Number one, there's always cases of people that refuse all treatments and they have what's called spontaneous remission of the cancer, which means they heal. But his situation is different in that he's had so much toxic chemicals in his lungs. The lungs are just very, very weak. His entire body is weak. his immune system is not working right. Now, what I would guess, can I just kind of make a guess here? I would guess that his circulation is extremely, extremely poor. It just doesn't have the capacity to carry a lot of oxygen to the tissues. That's what you want to do, though.
That's right.
And so he has a severely destroyed capacity to allow oxygen to go from his lungs to the bloodstream. So the guy's not exactly out running marathons every day, is he?
No, sir. He's very, very just walking down to check his mail at the end of this driveway is hard on him.
Does that, like, get him out of breath doing that?
Yes, sir.
Well, and so you see what I mean right now, that he has such horrific circulation. I'm not trying to slam him over that deal, but I'm thinking, what do we do to improve his circulation? And maybe you could suggest to him that he could drink 2 to 3 cups of green tea every day. And in the green tea, he could take like a heaping spoonful of what's called organic pomegranate powder and stir it in there. Now, the lungs have got to have salt to work right. So either he moves to Florida and he sits on the beach every day, because if you sit on the beach, you can probably just inhale salt. It comes off the ocean water.
He does eat a lot of salt, but it's the wrong kind of salt.
Well, and the salt that he's probably consuming, if it's just modern table salt that's white, it's got a ton of aluminum powder in it.
Yes, sir.
And there's not many ways that you totally wreck your blood flow, but with aluminum. Aluminum just makes your blood thick and dirty and gooey and gunky.
Yes, sir.
So does he, when's the last time that you've seen him?
Well, it's probably been about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so what you would do is, if he's wearing a pair of shorts and you happen to just visually inspect his ankle, what if you see a small vein near the surface that looks like it's a little bit darker and it's like there's some blood, like a spider vein. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
What you do is just take your thumb and press firmly on it for about 5 seconds. And then as you watch that area, just take your thumb off and see how long it takes for the blood to fill back up in the vein. And I think you'll be quite shocked. And then you'll say, you see how thick the blood is? And so his blood is thick and dirty. I mean, if he had a juicer, that would be a really good choice right now.
Yes.
But we're going to have to go through the process of detoxification, because even if we look at terms like metabolic sediment, that just means all the waste of the body. It hadn't left, it's built up. And see, your lungs are your main organ of detoxification. So every time that you breathe out, waste is supposed to leave. So when the lungs are not working real efficiently, you just can't detox real well.
Yes, sir.
Does he have an oxygen tank that he's on?
No, sir, but he's had a real bad smoker's cough for years.
Well, and his lungs are just saying, we need help here. Help us get well.
Yes, sir.
And so what you can do is, there's an herb that grows right there in Palestine. It's called mullein. He could drink mullein tea every single day for the next 6 months to try to improve his lungs. If I were him, I would look at things like, have you ever heard of N-acetylcysteine?
No, sir.
Well, this is an amino acid, and when you take N-acetylcysteine, sometimes they'll add an amino acid called glycine to it. But they did a study this week where they published a study, and they showed this reverses aging. But they pointed out that N-acetylcysteine is so good at helping to heal damaged lungs from toxicity and poor circulation. And for all I know, he may have multiple low-grade biofilms or infections in his lungs or his respiratory system that need to be cleared and cleaned out.
Yes, sir.
Am I giving you too much information?
No, I'm writing it down, everything you're saying.
Okay, well, if he's eating sugar, tell him to stop. The only thing sweet that I want him eating would be called a blueberry or a grape. Or a strawberry.
Yes,
actually, those sound pretty good to me.
Yes, sir. I remember I ate lots of strawberries and lots of sweet potatoes.
You know what I need him to do? If he's going to eat watermelon, he should put some Celtic salt on it and eat it that way.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You're
a blessing
welcome
to all of us.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. You're a good source of encouragement to your brother-in-law.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. I think if you moved closer to the California perspective, you might find they have salt rooms everywhere. And in these salt rooms, it looks like they have cut big blocks of the pink Himalayan salt, or maybe they've been mined way up in the mountains somewhere. And they just put a person in a salt room and they let them breathe in those salt ions. And that's historically what you would use for infections like sinus infections. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, fine, thanks for asking. I'm just calling about the salt. I used to live in California when it was a good place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people going by the sea and sitting down and just breathing the salt air out of there, and I didn't understand why.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two or three reasons I know of. Number one, from the ocean, you have an element called iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the waves crash on the rocky jetties or they come in the form of the tide, it releases iodine and also salt in the air. But when you breathe it in, those are probably some of the healthiest people on the planet.
So what kind of salt would you suggest to get? Because when I go to some places, I'll just tell them, you can get fresh fries, but I say I don't want salted fries because I know the salt they put on there is bad. So
Salt? Well, I'm going to give you four or five different brands that you can look for. There's one that's called Redmond's Sea Salt. It comes in a bag. You'll see little flecks of brown and almost black specks in there. It looks kind of dirty, a little bit pinkish. But it's basically just unbleached and unchemicalized. It's just raw. So that would be a good one. They sell other forms of just unprocessed plain Jane sea salt. You can use that. Then you have have you ever seen the pink Himalayan salt where it looks like chunks of pink crystals?
No, sir.
I think any grocery store you go to now, if you walk down the aisle where they have spices, if you look, they'll probably have containers, maybe with a grinder on the top of it, that has that pink Himalayan salt. That would be good. Another one that I really like a lot is called Celtic or Celtic salt. It's the one that looks like kind of a grayish, sometimes darker gray, dirty, wet sand. That's what it looks like. But it's very, very good for the body, but they're raw and unprocessed. But this is only my personal opinion. I think that most people are very deficient in iodine. And if the only source of iodine is going to come from table salt, then we're going to fail at replenishing the body's needs for iodine.
Hmm.
So one of the greatest superfoods of all time would be kelp or seaweed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if you eat any fish or seafood that comes from the saltwater ocean, would be a source of iodine right there. And what would I think if you said, "Hey, Dr. Morgan, I went fishing in a bay off the coast of Alaska, and I feel like $1 million. Why is that?" Well, you're probably breathing salt air, you're getting your iodine, and you're out in the fresh air and the sunshine.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. I do have one quick question.
Sure.
years ago, they were giving me statin drugs, and I kind of slowed down on taking them because I was really worried about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up, they had to clean my arteries out, so I have two stents in my heart. But it took them 5 months after that to find out I had a ruptured gallbladder.
Goodness, it's horrible.
Yeah, 5 months. Uh huh. And the doctor that did my gallbladder said a ruptured gallbladder could mimic a cardiac event. But anyway, after
he's right.
Yep. So I may not need these two stents, but when I got them, I felt a lot better, I'll tell you that. But I watch what I eat. I drink a lot of sugar-free stuff, like zero sugar for Gatorade. I try to get my electrolytes, but sometimes I have to feel a little dizzy. but I had to redo my diet pretty much. I eat salmon and, you know, healthy foods like
Man,
that.
I am going to try to talk you into making your own Gatorade. If you would just get some Concord grape frozen concentrate and put that in your water with a pinch of salt, that stuff is amazing. And the thing of it is, it's just pure. It comes from grape. Just like I told you, I read the study that people that eat grapes, they have 5 more quality years compared to those that don't. And so grapes have properties to heal the body. So yeah, if you could discipline yourself to do that, that would be a great form of Gatorade. Just water it down.
Okay. And, yeah, I do the red grapes. The red grapes are better for your heart, they say.
Well, I think the more color, I mean, I would settle for the green grapes if that's all a person could find, and that's, I'm not going to argue over that. But when you have the darker color, yeah, they have more of those polyphenols that are good for the heart. You're right.
All right. Well, I'll let another caller get on here, but I just want to let you know. Yeah, go figure, huh?
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate your phone call.
You too, sir.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open again. It's 903-586-5257. If you haven't heard this program before, this is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Roy Morgan. And feel free to call and ask a question. I'm trying to think, where did I have that information? So, this is so fascinating. What I meant to say earlier about magnesium, you absorb magnesium better in the presence of adequate sodium or salt. And so, like I told you, that the Celtic salt, that is a richer base of magnesium. Good morning, and welcome to the program. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
It's good to hear you.
Well, thanks.
I listen, not like a religion, but pretty darn every time I can.
Well, I don't want this to be your religion. I have a better one for you.
I got him already. Oh, my goodness. Thank
wait,
you.
Wait, what are his initials?
J.S. or J.C.
Oh, J.S. J.C. Good choice.
Yes, I can't spell either.
That's all right. Well, I'm only joking. Jesus Christ. I shouldn't be.
Right? Amen.
Good
Amen.
Choice.
I have an issue with spelling. I wrote down, I would take notes occasionally, the N-acetylcysteine.
Yeah, it's called, and sometimes they just do it in all capital letters as in N-A-C.
Okay, because I went to a high-priced drug emporium last week looking for it, and they looked like I had grown gills and scales on me.
Well, you've got to ignore that. That's just what they do there. I'm serious. I could walk in the store and say, could you point me towards your potato chips? And they would say, sir, we don't have any. And I'm going, you're standing right in front of them. And they were just joking. No, it's just kind of comical. I get the same thing from everybody that goes there.
Okay.
So they have N-acetylcysteine there.
Okay, because he asked me, is it... what are we looking for?
Well, technically, it's going to be in a capsule form. It's considered an amino acid.
Okay.
So most likely, if you went over to where they had protein or amino acids, I think the store is pretty well organized.
Yes.
You're talking about the one that's just right next door to Lowe's there in Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but N-acetylcysteine... I don't think they sell it any longer on Amazon because people were complaining that it was too good at helping people recover from COVID, so they pulled it. And
of course.
I'm really being serious. It's just I can't make this stuff up. It's just ridiculous.
No, it's so foolish, it's real.
But the thing of it is, let's just say that a person had an issue with a cough or their lungs or their liver was weak or they just didn't feel right. N-acetylcysteine is one of the greatest antioxidants of all time to help repair the body, but it's good at helping to dissolve and break down old mucus and gunk in the body and kick it out and get rid of it.
I'm the host to multiple issues, and I'm.
What's your main one? Do you think?
Type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
And the next one would be. Smoking, which I'm working on. It's not easy, but doggone it. and I've got thyroid
bless you for saying all that.
And thyroid problems. So I've got, I'm taking the thalamus and pills and prescribed pills.
Okay.
I'm doing better.
You're trying to help yourself. That's good. You get an A+.
Oh, well, thank you. But I really feel like it's, I'm teaching myself like I'm a child again, trying to teach a child. I don't get it all the time.
You know what some people do? If they have a craving for sugar, they put a pinch of salt on their tongue and they wait 5 minutes to see if the craving completely disappears and goes away.
Oh.
And you know what works the best is if you put it on your tongue and then you walk for 5 minutes. And there's something kind of magical about that it kind of flushes away that thought that you got to have something sweet.
Okay.
So you've got nothing to lose by trying that.
Correct. Yes.
You've been a vessel
of knowledge. Thank you.
You're welcome. The other thing that works is sucking on a tablet of Gymnema right before you eat something sweet. It'll totally destroy your desire to eat sweets.
What the heck is that?
It's called Gymnema. It comes from a shrub that grows, I think, in northern India. But they put it in a tablet form. It tastes horrible, but if you suck on it, it's known to lower blood sugar and rejuvenate the pancreas.
Yeah, when you said it tastes horrible, I just, you know, doctor, I can't be helped anymore.
Oh, so you drew a boundary line there because it's so gross, right?
yeah, gross.
Well, sometimes that's the way that real medicine is, right?
Yeah.
That's like me telling people to eat liver and onions. They look at me like, you're nuts. I'm not eating that stuff.
that stuff I enjoy. I even like beef kidney.
Do you really?
Yes, sir.
That is awesome.
Yes, sir. Delightful. It's much milder flavor than liver. And I believe it does better than liver, doesn't it? Or the same?
Well, no, they're two different organ systems. But what I would say is the kidneys are one of the most incredible systems in the body. And I think one of the reasons why I talk about them all the time is just because I see so many people with kidney problems. It's like every other person's got a kidney problem. But if you can find a way to prepare the kidneys, what do you do? Just grind it up with some hamburger meat and make a meatloaf out of it?
I have ground it up with other organ meat like heart and liver and a sirloin. And I've also made... It's like from our founding forefathers' recipe. It's
really?
Steak and kidney pie. Yes, sir.
That's great. See, look at there. You're doing something to help yourself. That's great. See, your body knows every time you do something good for yourself.
Yeah, it does.
You're saying, I love me. I'm going to give myself some kidney pie.
Right? And that, I love myself cheesecake didn't go over so good then.
Oh, dear. Tell me more about this. What kind of nutrients are in that?
Well, the graham cracker crust is minimal nothing.
Well, if that was just a rare occasion, nobody's going to beat you for that.
Okay.
But this is good. Try these things and let me know if they help. But the N-acetylcysteine, you may need somewhere between... 1,500 milligrams to maybe 2,500 a day to get the job done.
Okay.
Good. I hope that helps.
Thank you for taking the time with me.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for your call, ma'am. Hope you have a great Saturday.
Thank you. You too. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, there's plenty of time for another caller because I have... How much time do I have? There's a few more minutes. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thanks for your phone call.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. Since you're speaking on the pink Himalayan salt, what do you think of those lamps that are made out of salt?
I love them. You do is when you turn those small lamps on, even though they may only have like a 5 to 15 watt light bulb, it heats up the salt and it releases salt ions into the air.
Awesome.
So that's good.
It was good. Okay, that's what I need to know. I've been using it and it's done well.
Now, I hate to break it to you, but if you buy them for $100 versus the clearance aisle where they cost $8, they work the same whether you pay $100 or $8.
Didn't pay $100. That's
okay.
All right, thank you.
Good deal. Much. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, that would be something to think about. If you had a child or there was an adult or someone that had continual lung problems, they can't ever get well, or sinus problems, a salt lamp by the bed might be a good choice. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, yes, sir. I'm calling for a friend.
Okay.
And I just had a quick question. He had a heart attack about 8 weeks ago and had a triple bypass.
Mm-hmm.
His doctor told him the other day that he had 37% efficiency.
Right.
He's trying to get him up to 40.
That's easy to do.
That's what I was wondering. What could you do to try to get your heart back better?
Okay, well, let me give you some ideas, and if you write these down or record them, we'll just kind of flesh them out just because we have just a couple of moments left. But I want to at least give you the nuts and bolts of this, all right?
Okay,
so there's an herb called hawthorn.
Hawthorn
has been shown to, and I got to be careful how I word this, but it increases the energy and the efficiency of the heart, if I can word it that way.
Okay.
And so hawthorn would be a very interesting look. The other one, since he had a heart attack, you can't go wrong with consuming pomegranate. So whether you eat the pomegranate fruit or you have the pomegranate juice, I'm kind of partial to the pomegranate powder because I think I get much better compliance when people just take a spoonful of the powder and put it in a cup of green tea. But what you're doing is that helps repair the circulation to the heart muscle itself.
Okay.
I always use, when I'm trying to strengthen the heart, there's a product that I use from a company called Standard Process. It's called Cardio Plus. And it's made of calf heart or cow heart tissue. But that's the principle of like curing like. Just like the lady that just called, she said that she would take some beef heart and she would cook it and eat it and she liked it. So though the most harmful thing to the heart of all time is going to be sugar. And so if your friend could go on a sugarless diet and he got his sweets from eating cherries or blueberries or strawberries or grapes, that would be the best way to get his sugar.
Okay.
But there's another compound that's called resveratrol. I know that's a mouthful, but it's a polyphenol that comes from the skins of grapes. Sometimes it's found in red wine. Sometimes you get a little bit from blueberries, but that helps improve the functionality of the heart. The other thing that I think is just going to be critical, it's going to be magnesium and zinc and iodine. And anytime that you want your heart to become stronger, you've got to consume enough salt so it does its job. Salt is not bad, especially if it's the raw salt like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, you'd talked a few weeks ago about almost a tablespoon a day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, I heard you say the magnesium between 350 and 420.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about zinc? I mean, milligrams.
Well, I think we're talking about it somewhere between 30 to maybe 40 milligrams a day should do the job nicely.
Okay.
And then if he can eat fish, fish has been shown to be fabulous for the heart. The best one is sardines. But if he doesn't care for sardines, salmon would work. And I'm thinking you probably have nothing better to do with your Saturday than drive way up north near the East Coast, the West Coast, catch some salmon and drive back this afternoon.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, we're completely out of time. Sorry about that. But thanks for calling on behalf of your friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.